everybody. Welcome to Street Fight Radio. I'm glad to be back. Glad to have Brian back, just to get that out of the way. He's here. For those of you that enjoyed our guest shows, I have another one for you on the way. Earlier this week, I sat down with comedian Arish Singh. He's Arish-ish on Twitter, A-R-I-S-H-I-S-H. And we discussed leftist politics and performing and entertainment and all of those things and how they relate to 2016 and what's going down in 2017 and the possibilities that are there. For this is your first time listening, we are the number one anarcho comedy radio show on any station across the nation. It's been that way for 5 years now. We're on WCRS in Columbus, Ohio. That's our hometown, Cap City 614, the best place to be. And we like to keep it local and fucking live as hell, right?
Artisan. We like to keep it artisan. Really?
There is an old ambulance chasing lawyer, a famous one, Scott Schiff in Columbus, Ohio. And this is the guy that would always be screaming on the TV. And now he's, I'm a local lawyer. I'm an Ohio proud lawyer. You know, he's artisan.
You know what's funny about that?
Artisan
is that,
ambulance
like,
chasing.
There was a period where they were going to close the Newport Music Hall, the nation's longest running nightclub. Directly across the street from The Ohio State University has hosted, you know, all the same people that your longest running nightclub in your city has hosted, you know, AC/DC, Cheech and Chong, every Pink Floyd's played there, you know, and they were going to knock that shit down and put in a CVS, of course, because that's what you do. You knock a thing down, you put in a CVS, and you get mad when somebody burns the CVS down.
Right.
But
tale as old as time.
He was one of the people that was in the lineup to buy the Newport. And he was the one that, like, in I remember in the other paper, which was like our alt-weekly newspaper here, they were like, well, if he buys it, he's going to keep it the Newport. And I'm like, you go, Scott Schiff. You fucking go. And, you know, we ended up narrowly avoiding it. That building's coming down.
Like, you think so?
Oh, my God. There's no way. There's just no way it gets to stay now. Not in these times. Just, you can't have an ugly building. It is against the law for a city to have an ugly building now. They have to put a Target there. Hey, just pop a Target.
Urban
in there.
Target.
Yeah.
It's a vertical Target with three floors, and they have little cart escalators.
Yeah. Oh, hey, we have this really charming little market in our city. How can we improve on it? You know, oh, you could do some restorations. What about putting a giant shiny building there?
Yes. Is that happening?
It's a proposal for the North Market. We have a place called the North Market in the city. It's a really cool place. Every city has one.
Well, but actually ours was publicly owned until a few years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So
it's, it was actually a Kickstarter before that was even a thing for a lot of the local restaurants that made it big. Jenny's Ice Cream started out of there, which you can get all over the country. A lot of the sushi places, the pizza, all of some of the most famous Columbus items started at that place, which is, you know, it was at the beginning, it was like a few hundred dollars a month to get like a table, flea market style.
Yeah. I mean, even before you had moved away and come back, it had gotten really expensive. But now when you go in there, you can tell it's new expensive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, you need to have a loan.
Yeah. I've talked to people about like they, you know, raising booth rental to like $10,000 a month or something. It's like, well, now this is just a place where only like rich people that are good at making cupcakes can have a little spot.
Exactly. It's someone that's like, when one of those guys is like a hedge fund manager is like, you know what? I'm giving up the finance, man. I'm just going to follow my love and I'm making tacos. You know, it's
yeah.
Like, he has an extra $250,000. His taco business will be fine.
I mean, really, they used to, there's this, the cheese guy there was like this really legendary thing because he's mean as a fucking pit bull. You know?
Yeah, he didn't like people that didn't know what they want or that were bad customers. Didn't know how to just be polite even.
Yeah, and he's gone now. And I'm like, man, so you mean to tell me I can't even have an unpleasant experience when I go to this place? I can't. I mean, actually, he was very nice to me in the times before he was leaving because I had been there so much. Like, I had built a rapport with him. but you had to do that or it was an unpleasant experience.
Yes.
And just the, like, he's gone in the place of like a guy with a handlebar mustache is like that, that is selling like, I mean, you know, probably roughly the same cheese or yeah. whatever, but I want the grumpy man.
I do too. Yeah, and so now they're proposing that actually is some sort of like money saving endeavor. I believe they got rid of like the public investment in that market, and so now they're putting a giant fucking skyscraper next to it.
Yeah,
or somebody's talking about doing.
Yeah, they were like, hey, what, you know, what would be better than the parking lot in front of the North Market? A giant skyscraper,
a shiny one too. Shiny. One of them fucking pie polished chrome ones that just catches your light in the eye and. Burns it.
A Texas ass skyscraper.
Yeah, they had tons of those. People hated them. They would put those gigantic glass ones up and you couldn't be next to it. Like the whole building next to them during the middle of the afternoon was unlivable. Too hot, the glare and the heat. They're totally asinine.
Just fucking build it then. Who cares?
Yes.
Like, fuck you, man.
So that's where we're coming from, Columbus, Ohio. That's a little bit of what's happening locally. My name is Brett Payne. This is Brian Quimby. He's back after a huge medical issue.
Harrowing. It was a harrowing week of tooth pain. The worst kind of pain.
Yeah, that comes out of nowhere. And you want to ignore it, but you can't.
Yeah, it's impossible. I was... Okay, like, we'll go through the week. I'm not going to get, like, super into detail, right? But, like, it started... kind of basically on Monday. I said I need to go to the dentist. I have a toothache, and Christmas is coming up, and I would like to remedy it before Christmas.
Makes sense.
So Monday it was like, I'm gonna nip this thing in the bud. It's not a big deal right now. I get there and, you know, it hurts real bad, and they give me, and this is what is really going to be the crux of the story too, they give me some antibiotics. Some good old penicillin, the classic, one of the
vintage,
classics.
Yeah. One of our best medicines.
And they gave me some Vicodin. They call it Norco now, but that's just because they don't want to say Vicodin anymore.
Yeah, it's too many rap songs.
Yeah, Vicodin's just a word that people like to, like, that's what everybody's trying to get high off of. Now you got to call it Norco.
Right.
But they gave me six of those.
That ain't enough for anybody.
That's, yes. And it was as prescribed. Had I taken them, I was to take 1 5-milligram Vicodin every 6 hours.
For a tooth that needs throbbing. To be pulled out of your head?
So Tuesday, I'm like, I don't think this is getting better. I think it's getting worse. And it's like, just... let it go, because the antibiotics gotta get in there, and they gotta get rid of all those biotics.
Right,
whatever those biotics are that are in there, they gotta
sweep them out.
Sweep them, get them out. So Wednesday, I wake up and my face is just swollen, and my stomach is killing me, and just my whole body feels like it has turned against me. You know, my daughter saw me sitting on the floor in front of the toilet without a shirt on, just like. Leaned forward, just trying to throw up until I bust a blood vessel in my eye.
And I do have to say, at this point, I didn't have very much sympathy for you, because you're always complaining. You wear out your sympathy with me like in February.
I know. I wouldn't have had it either. I would have
seemed the same as if you had to go to Giant Eagle to get some bread. It seemed like the same level of discomfort for you.
Just being raked over the coals. Right. Like, I always act like I'm being raked over the coals. So right. Like, when I really am, I can understand, man. I wouldn't have any sympathy either. So Tuesday, we didn't record, and on Wednesday, I wake up, and I'm like, okay, I got to go to the damn hospital. And I went to the hospital, and that's when I sent Brett the thing. And was like, I'm at the hospital, so I'm definitely not doing a show tonight.
Yeah.
But they gave me 4 milligrams of morphine. They're like, hey, have you ever had morphine? And, like, any cool dude, I go, like, oh, nah, man. No, I would never do such a thing.
Yeah.
And they gave – because, you know, what if you tell them – like, oh, yeah, I've had morphine. It's, you know, but I think that might work. They'd be like, addict. You son of a bitch.
You're a
sickening
risk.
Addict.
You're a risk.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is they're so tight-fisted, man. Like, 6 Vicodin every 6 hours. Like, one That is the kind of prescription I need. Actually, 6 Vicodin every 6 hours.
Right, right.
But, like, I just... Man, like, letting somebody just sit in pain because you're terrified that they might, for some fucking reason, sell a Vicodin or something. Just give them more than they need. I know that's caused a lot of problems out there.
Look. Yeah, I had the same issue, though. When I had my wisdom teeth out in November, it was the same thing. They were like, yeah, this tooth is fucked up, and we're going to just take out all of your wisdom teeth, so we'll just schedule it for, like, you know, 2 weeks from now. Well, they wanted to do it the next week, and I was like, I have a live show. I can't do that. So they're like, all right, so we'll schedule it 2 weeks from now. And I leave, and they give me, like, 20 Vicodin to last 2 weeks, and I'm supposed to take them every 6 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this doesn't seem like enough, you know?
The time doesn't add up, and they're just so scared. I mean, the DEA's got them scared. I'm not going to sit here and blame the doctors. I'm sure they feel a moral obligation to not overprescribe them now, and it's got to be scary, but it also doesn't have to be like a landmine thing. You know, you don't have to, the doctors don't need to be on pins and needles about it. We need to deal with the issue of that kind of drug abuse, you know, or whatever we want to call whatever that drug use is, the bad kind.
The kind where people ride around on lawnmowers in the middle of the night and shoot off fireworks and shit.
Yeah, we got to deal with that, okay? I'm not saying that doesn't have to be dealt with, but let's not let it affect our medical care now to the point where you're like, no, we can't. I mean, but man, what if you gave him enough Vicodin to get his pain to go away?
Right.
Then he might end up liking it. Like, it's just because of the way we deal with drugs, it's like just... Don't give it to them. Hey, you know, if it becomes a problem, you just got to be in pain. And
yeah.
Look, fucking life is a dull pain, you know, for me, sure. For guys like me.
It intensifies, though.
Yeah.
I need a little help.
It didn't even help with the morphine either. And I didn't want to tell the nurse because morphine's got such a hard name, you know, where they're just like, yeah, man, you know, I'm a morphine.
Yeah.
You know, there's bands named Morphine and stuff. And I'm just sitting there. She's like, yeah, once that morphine kicks in, you'll be able to sleep. Your tooth won't hurt you anymore. And I was just like, nope.
Yeah, you don't know how I work. You haven't seen how much I can be bothered by the littlest bit of pain.
Yes. And the other weird part about this is that my wife actually calls the dentist and she's like, hey man, my husband's face is a lot worse now. He's in a lot more pain. And now his stomach screwed up, and they're like, hey, it's probably them Vicodin probably messing him up. He probably can't handle a Vicodin. We can give him something a little weaker.
What? No. These people have no experience. They should let these guys do like a pharmaceutical vacation for part of their schooling.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
like before they graduate, you get to take a couple of weeks off. You get to try all of the pills you're going to prescribe.
I would be a pharmacist. If somebody like that sounds like something you would have told me in eighth grade, and I would have just been like, I'm going to be a pharmacist when I grow up.
No, dude, you get fucking paid money and you get to try all the drugs.
Yeah, that would be me. That is a Brian job. I'd probably be working in a pharmacy right now instead of doing the show.
That's old school pharmacy, though. That's like selling it off of a wooden cart pharmacy where you just, oh, it made me a little bit nervous, but it got rid of the pain. Fine.
Dips his finger in a fentanyl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that's the good stuff.
Yeah, I was really irritated about the painkiller situation. Look, I'm not going to come on the show and pretend like I don't enjoy painkillers. That's ridiculous. One of my top joys in life is opioids, okay?
They make me mean, though.
Yeah? They make you mean?
Yeah. Maybe the tooth just hurt, but I was really mean when I was taking them.
It's probably the tooth, man. Your tooth's in pain. And also, I noticed this week, it's like, they don't feel as good when you're in pain. Like, these things aren't as fun when you're in pain.
It's better when you're having, like, an easy, breezy Saturday.
Yeah, I was like, I want to save these for when I'm healthy.
Right.
I actually did stop taking, I ended up getting Percocets, and I stopped taking them. And, like, took ibuprofen for the days while I was sick. But I was able... So,
sandbagging?
Yeah, why not, man? You know, I like Percocets. I haven't had those in a long time. I was like, I'm gonna get a little bit of enjoyment out of these things.
Makes sense.
Know?
Yeah.
They're cheap. Which is exactly why they were so tight-fisted with the...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. When I was buying them, like on the, when you buy them on the street, they're like really expensive. But when you go to the store and get them, they're $8. It's wonderful.
$6. And like, these are like, I'd pay $6 for two of these.
Yeah. Yeah. I would too, man. But, yeah, I ended up getting better by Friday night. I was like less swollen. So I'm back, man. I'm back a million times better and mad as hell at them holding on to those drugs like that. It's ridiculous, Brett.
It is.
Yeah,
it's. I mean, they're all tied together, man. The more they let out, the more people get fucked up with them, and they're not willing to address why people want to get that fucked up. You know?
Yeah, that's the fucking whole point. Is like, I understand. Like, while I'm writhing in pain because I can't get enough pain medicine because the doctors for some reason have decided like that. One pill can never fix anything unless it's called OxyContin.
Right.
Like, that's the only one pill solution I've ever been able to find. Xanny bar. That is a one pill solution, but it's a whole bar of a pill, you know. But like, they don't like that people are sitting around in pain, and I did read the article about how pharmaceutical companies were flooding West Virginia with opiates. And I'm like, well, yeah, that is like, I understand that there is a real crisis. Some of the crisis is because of the war on drugs, but like all of it pretty much.
Right. That makes a big part of it.
So yeah, it's good to be back. It feels good to be back doing radio. It's tough. I've never missed a week, and it's hard to do a week without screaming into a microphone.
That is true. I think that is your first time you haven't done it.
Yeah, it was crazy. So one of the articles, I did a little, we have so much stuff to talk about.
Backlog after
this
backlog.
Week. We just have a backlog. And had this article about Uber, where their self-driving cars are fucking hitting bikers now. They're driving in the bike lane in San Francisco. It says engineers were working to fix programming flaw that could have deadly results for cyclists the day after Uber announced it would openly. So Uber's cars, I think we have the article here.
You can't fuck around like that.
I don't know why they, like, why aren't we, look, Uber is bad. Lyft is bad. We know that, right? We all know 100%. Whatever your opinions,
go ahead.
Whatever your opinions are. I mean, I know that my opinion on Lyft is that it's nice for me to make money off of. But like, we know that like the people are not necessarily experienced drivers, right? Like, yes, they're not experienced at driving people around. Let's not replace them with a computer that I'm just not comfortable with. You know, you wouldn't let a fucking plane. You wouldn't. Would you sit in a plane without a pilot?
I'm not interested in that. Yeah, and people need rides. I mean, that's how I feel about it. I mean, the way that the companies are structured is awful, but we've also found out that a lot of people need rides.
I just really want that app. I want somebody to take the technology of that app and just make it a co-op, you know?
Right.
Like, that seems like such a fucking, that's one of those nationalized things. Like, just the drivers get all of the money, you know, instead of giving it away.
Yeah, I actually have been thinking about this with automation and everything when I was thinking about shipping and a lot of the stuff going on for the holidays. It's really what we have to do is we have to stop getting things shipped in 2 days. We have to stop doing convenient shit. Like, we just need to let people take their time.
Right.
Like, it needs to be a lot slower, because the more that they automate this shit, the more they cut us out, the more it fucks us over.
Yeah.
And if we had just a world where everything was done bucket brigade style and people had a place to keep things moving, as if it was molasses slow, it's better than having self-automated robots kill bikers in, right, San Francisco.
Uber has admitted that there's a problem with the way autonomous vehicles cross bike lanes, raising serious questions about the safety of cyclists days after the company announced that it would openly defy their regulators over self-driving vehicles. An Uber spokeswoman said on Monday that engineers were working to fix a flaw in the programming that advocates feared could have deadly consequences. And it makes sense, because the computer was probably just like, you know, fuck it, there's nobody over there and it's a street.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly, the camera, I would hope could pick up someone on a bicycle. But this is also something that a person could do. People can do this. Why are the robots doing this?
Well, there is a person. So Uber began piloting it. And I hate these self-driving cars as a driver, too. It's like, man, these are the fucking only jobs that exist now. You know what I mean? Like, why are you taking this job where you're totally ripping off the employees away?
Well, that job, yeah, and that job is fairly new, too. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, Uber and Lyft saved my life. And it's like, well, they're about to take it away from you.
Yeah, yeah. I feel the same. Yeah, the goal for Uber is driverless cars, you know? That's all they want in the end.
Which I like. I mean, I actually do. It makes sense. That Amazon Go store where you can just walk in and out and everything runs on your phone. I love that kind of stuff, but that leaves people fucking destitute. You know, that's what they never say is that in order for this to happen, other people are going to suffer horribly.
Yeah, yeah. So Uber began piloting its self-driving cars in its hometown of San Francisco last week, despite state officials' declaration that the rideshare company needed special permits to test its technology, which, not generally a permits guy. Brett, yeah, I think we both we can both agree that I am not permits aren't a thing that's high on my list of things I want the government. I care that the government does, you know? And but a permit to practice driving self-driving cars on streets, on public streets where people are walking in a major city? I don't know. I mean, that seems like a thing like some sort of oversight. Yeah. Should include.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't like the sound of it anyways. I don't even feel like there should be... I'm just a Luddite about it.
I'd rather have a 13-year-old drive. I'd rather give license to 13-year-olds, to tell you the truth.
Lower the licensing age! That's more freedom!
That's another thing. Put that on the platform for my mayoral race. I'm going to run for mayor. Yeah, we're going to lower the driving age. No, I'm sick of them raising it. Like, they're raising the age for everything. So you got to be 21 to smoke cigarettes now. Which is, they'll say, so they can start, we'll start getting people off of cigarettes, you know? That ain't going to happen. That's not how it's going to work, I guess. You know, alcohol is still, that's what they were saying then, you know, oh, you're older, you can drink the alcohol. And then maybe, you know, one day we'll get rid of all the alcohol.
Yeah, I don't know. They're different. Because cigarettes are just out of fashion, man. They just do make you too stinky and yellow.
I don't smoke. So that's I don't smoke at all anymore. I quit smoking weed too.
Ooh,
I only vape it. Okay, vape actually is
what you call it.
But yeah, man. So there are concerns about how the cars behave in dense urban environments, particularly in San Francisco, where there's like 82,000 bike trips each day.
Yeah, this seems horrible.
It does. It just seems like a car. One of those. Have you ever seen the movie Maximum Overdrive?
No.
It's a movie based on a Stephen King book where all the machines come alive and just start, like, there's a really incredible scene in this movie where, like, they're at a baseball field after a day of playing Little League baseball, and these teens that are baseball players go to get a pop, and the pop machine just belts them.
Oh, that would be awesome to see. Yeah. I'd love to see some kids get hit with cans of soda.
And it's just like, I remember seeing, and all the cars come alive.
Yeah.
And fuck people, which, man, now I'm thinking about it, this is so much better than a zombie story in this era. Like, yeah, to scare people if, like, your cell phone is killing you. Every piece of, like, a machinery is trying to kill you.
Yeah. Smartphones became serial killer phones.
Yeah, we're probably talking some real forbidden knowledge stuff.
Did you see that thing I posted today that there is a serial killer box per month?
I did. I saw that. Are they saying that the serial killers set them up, or that just every month somebody will send you pictures of dead people?
I think that, I don't know. I think it's case information on a different serial killer each month, and you get to solve the crime.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like you get a primer and they tell you who the suspects are and you get all the info and you're, you know, reading through gruesome details. But yeah, that's where we're at. Some people are working 60 hours a week and can't afford rent, and then some people have enough money to pretend they are a serial killer every single month.
Yeah. Oh, man. I thought it was, like, serial killer collector's items.
Well, that's... What is good about... None of that is okay. I guess I'm probably, I know even, there's a lot of crossover, but serial killer stuff isn't too fascinating to me anymore, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. It's not fascinating to me either. I don't,
there's
I
a lot of people that love it
and hate it. Yeah, I studied it. I was in classes about serial killers in college, which sounds so, I know what it sounds like. To everybody
special
listening.
Snowflakes?
No, that just like that. Oh God, this guy went to college to do the sicko stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I talk to a lot of people who find out that I studied serial killers a little bit in college because I took deviance courses. It wasn't anything that I was interested in, but they're always like, "That's the most interesting thing about you." Now, can I talk about it?
I don't like that.
I wasn't fond of it. Like I said,
I read tons of it though. I've read all kinds of shit about it. I used to read a lot of it. I mean, it's pretty, I don't know. I guess it was edgy at one point.
Yeah. I mean, yes, it's very edgy.
It's lost its edge with me.
You can't get off on a serial killer story anymore.
No.
Hey man. So, you see Josh Barrows at it again?
What's he doing?
He does not like the idea of a UBI, a universal basic income, okay? Because I don't know exactly why. He says it doesn't seem like a good idea because it'll make people not want to work.
That's
I guess.
Fine.
I'm going to have to find this. Just give me a second here.
Yeah, that's really the best direction we can go in. More than the only way. I mean, that's how I feel at this point.
UBI is it?
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. The DSA should have UBI in its platform. Also a universal basic income.
Well, because I was thinking even with like, I started to imagine for me, I mean, I'm always going for like perfect utopia. So voluntary type shit. So if everybody was provided Medicare or some sort of healthcare and then also could use that as a credit for like Cadillac healthcare. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If someone wanted to take $400 a month or whatever it costs to insure each one of us and use it for something, a different plan, I would love that. But money is really the best thing because it's something that everyone needs for different reasons. You can't just throw it out there, you know? You can't funnel it towards what you want. People just need it for what they need it for, you know?
Yeah. I found this thing. I'm getting there.
That was ramblings, but
no, I
money. The thing about money is that solves all of the problems. Kids could do better at school if they just had the money to pay for all of that stuff. Teachers, resources, programs, all of that stuff. Just fucking money is all it costs. And the crazy thing about it is that, you know, I was listening to a This Is Hell radio and they had one of their best of interviews. And this guy was talking about currency and how it's not a limited resource at all. Like people think that it's limited because it used to be backed by gold bars and shit, but it hasn't been that way for decades. So it's just this like, it's just this fake ass thing. It's just like this NUI in the air that it really reflects financial activity. So you can create money and put it wherever you want. These fucking assholes are just choosing not to put it in those places, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it stimulates like, you take more money, you put it towards these schools, you put it towards community funding, and that creates more money. Like, it just keeps snowballing.
Yeah, yeah. So here's Josh's tweet, okay? Our old friend. For those of you that don't know, we hate Josh Barrow.
Since forever. He's somebody I'd love to slap in the face.
Yeah, the way Chapo hates a lot of those, like, New York Times guys, I think this guy is the personification of what we hate.
He's an asshole. He needs to be brought down to the level.
What do you want? Like, wouldn't you love to just, like, just fucking fart on him and then punch him in the face.
I know. Or give him a flat tire.
Like, just really just like before you punch him in the gut, do something like disgusting that he thinks people from the Midwest do.
Yeah. Or hold him down and make him pick his own nose and eat it.
Yeah. Do that thing when you get the really strong spit. That, like when you have the strong spit and you can lean over him and you know, knock a little loot
yo
down.
Yo, loogie yo yo.
Yes, suck it back up right over his face. I mean, I just think, I feel like he has such disgust for anybody that's not in some elite class.
Yeah, he's a pinhead.
Yeah, and he just hates you so much that I want to be everything that he hates.
Yeah, he's
him.
The worst of the classist assholes I've ever seen. Like, yeah. He's just, even the people that get his kind of status are usually kind of like, okay, maybe I deserve this, but I'm not going to be an asshole about it.
Yeah.
Like, they don't usually go out of their way. They're pretty not humble. But
they try
just,
not to let you know that they're, like, from a family.
Yeah.
That's important. That from the world-famous Sparrow family.
The Sparrow family, right.
Yeah. Yeah. In light of political dislocations that apparently arise from the de-emphasis of work in society, UBI looking like a very bad idea. So,
but it would make everything so much better. Like, that's how even I feel, like, the fight for 15. So if the minimum wage is $7.50 right now, we should just have everybody get paid $7.50 an hour.
Ha! You know, I love that.
To make it up. And then everybody's getting 15 an hour or 15 plus. So now all of those people, their EMTs are only making $14 an hour. Now they're making $21.50. You know?
Yeah. You can't make them do that. That's the issue there. It's like, motherfucker that does pay somebody that pays an ambulance $9 an hour or something right now would just raise it to 15.
Well, but no, but that's what I'm saying. The UBI steps in, and the UBI is instead of moving everybody up to $15 an hour, it adds a set amount to everybody's shit. So,
yeah.
Like I said, $7.50 an hour to everybody.
You're fucking
extra.
Solving the problem here. I feel like that is a good, the minimum, they would still really hate to raise that minimum wage, but I guess.
Well, no, that's UBI, man. You got it. It's the pool of tax money. We take it all from rich people, man. Anybody that has more than one house, we seize all their shit and we take all their fucking money.
I would love to do. I would love to. That's one of the things when we talk about, like, a lot of times we talk about luxury communism, right? A kind of communism where everybody is also very comfortable.
Oh yeah.
You know, but I really get off on and feel really good about with our luxury communism is that it'll still make their lives measurably shittier.
Oh yeah. They can't deal with what we're comfortable with.
Yeah.
And I feel bougie most of the time.
Yeah. Which that is like just thinking about them coming down. Feels also very good. I know that
people
we're supposed
don't have
to not
go shop, do their own grocery shopping, have to do their own chores again.
I know.
Clean up after themselves.
Yeah. There ain't nobody going to clean your house for you. Okay.
Yeah. You do that yourself. You're a big boy now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, and I like, I just, their lower quality of, I mean, I really want it to get way worse. I think they should have to live like we do now. And we
pot on them.
Yeah. No, they live like we live now. And we get to live like people that make, you know, the upper middle class. That I think everybody deserves to be upper middle class.
Yeah, I agree.
Upper middle class should be the only class there is, really.
And that's the thing about the currency. That's the currency issue as well, is those, like, black communities and Latin communities and minority communities, they are just starved of money. And if they gave out business loans there, if you could get business loans, if the schools had funding, if there was, you know, enough money to generate all that, it could easily happen if they would just turn the spigot on of money.
Yeah.
You know, and UBI does that. That also puts people in charge of their own shit again.
Yeah. So the next tweet in this line, Brett, it does seem like a cult already on the chopping block for a jobs guarantee, and I see it from left and right, which is, that's another funny thing, is that now it's like people who want everybody to get a little money. That's like a cult behavior. That's weird.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Yeah.
What about all of us that already have all the money? And have you thought about us?
So he's saying that, like, if we just guarantee to everybody a job, then we don't need UBI. Which is, I mean, I don't think we can do that.
We don't have enough jobs. We have too many jobs as it is. We have people doing bullshit jobs everywhere.
Yeah. So here's where this is.
We have too many stores filled with too many useless jobs.
Exactly. So here's where this gets kind of, this is where it gets you here. This guy says, random thought I just had. What if Trump brought up a labor draft for prime age men, force them to work?
What kind of a psycho is this?
That was a psycho question. That is a crazy thing to say, right? Like, Trump, what we would do in this situation, everybody of a certain age, the age of the people that would be
18. Yeah, you're a man. You're a man. You're not going to college. You have to go work. You get it. Mike Rowe has set you up with a dirty job.
Yeah, 18 to 62. Because 62 is when you retire.
Okay.
And everybody has to have a job until it's retirement day.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay? That's what he's saying. And the thing is, what are the jobs?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
I can fix it.
Okay.
4-hour jobs. Like, if we split all the jobs in half.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Then everybody can get a job.
I don't think he's talking about that. I do not think this guy's saying, like, listen, man, Commandant Trump is going to get you a job and you're going to go fucking do it. However long you're doing it now, you're still going to be doing it.
I mean, is he going to do this on like in a palace? He's going to bring up young men like onto a stage and call out their new career?
I know. Can you like these? I can't imagine where you get in life where you I mean, like, he's not talking about them. He's talking about people that are unemployed, you know, like he's talking about some. I don't even know.
He has no idea what an average person is going through each week when they get their paycheck.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. Nobody's getting paid enough, but he's saying we should.
To be in this type of realm of thinking, you just don't even understand what people really need in this world.
No, you have no idea. They don't need jobs. I can tell you that. I know that what you're saying is that, like, when people don't have jobs, they do bad things. I mean, that's the core of what these guys are saying, you know?
No, they're just also, I mean, they are dead set on requiring everybody have a completely miserable day at work.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's their call, is they want everybody to have them. And liberals are the way, same. Republicans and Democrats want everybody to have a miserable day at work every day.
I mean, I like the idea of organizing around labor because I think labor is an important tool. You know, we need labor and we need to organize around work. But we also got to, like, accept the fact that some people can't work, aren't going to work, won't be able to make it in a world, and let's not force them into that world. You know, the reason that those people are poor, or the reason that those people are miserable, is because you're not giving them any fucking money. They don't have any resources because they can't fit in a work environment. I'm sorry.
And this even goes back to what we were mentioning earlier with the drug issues, is like, if people in West Virginia had a UBI and they could go get Frappuccinos with other mommies on the weekend and practice and pay for their crafting classes and shit and do fucking Pilates, they probably wouldn't be too interested in the pharmaceuticals, you know?
No. Yeah.
Like if there was a decent, labor is the essential to what getting everything done. I feel regressionist. I feel like we should be making our own shit still, but I can't square myself with just getting everything from overseas. I don't think that's a solution, but I also don't think that's on the table.
No, those jobs aren't ever going to come.
They can't
here.
Bring them back.
They won't be bringing
them back.
They could,
but they won't.
And when they bring them back, they're going to be done by robots. If they do get back here on this land, it will be done by robots. They don't want to pay us to do anything. There's too many of us. We're gross. We're disgusting. We watch Two Broke Girls.
Well, I mean, that's all there is to do, too. I mean, people are trapped in their houses watching those TVs, man.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to say the movies are too expensive, but what it really is, we're at work 12 hours a day and we get home and we slump in a chair and the only thing is TV. TV is the thing. You know, I know that when I was working for a living, and I've really noticed this recently, is that I did have a very regimented television viewing schedule.
Yeah. I mean, that's what gets you through.
I mean,
you need to have that day. Like, you need to basically be on a conveyor belt for your day. Like, I wake up, I have my coffee, I do my schedule, I go in, I come home, I watch my show at 8, watch my show at 9, watch my show at 10.
And the reason I did that is because what else can I do at the end of a goddamn 10, 11, 12 hour day? What else can I have? I want joy. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to sit down and look at something and I want it to do all of the work for me.
Well, and that's kind of the miserable nature of the social media too, is the lie that everybody is doing shit all the time, or like Pinterest, where everybody is doing activities and crafts and shit. Like my wife would work 14 hours and come home and be like, I'm supposed to be doing like a cute craft or something. I'm like, no, you're not. Nobody has time for that. And nobody else is doing that shit.
No.
Everybody else is fucking wiped out too.
Or they do that. The people. Exactly. I always wonder what comedians do. I'm like, oh, you know, a comedian job, it seems like they're always probably busy. They got to go out and get things done and stuff like that. And now that I'm starting to try to get in that direction, I'm like, I don't know what to do. I must not have a lot going on.
Yeah.
And like, but I think that's part of the thing, is like every time we see people, they're doing something.
Right.
And so we think that everybody's doing things all the time, but we're very tired also as a yes. society. We're exhausted and we just want to go home. My back is fucking killing me. My hands are dry and they're ripped open. And like, I don't want to get my mind fucked by Westworld, or I don't want to get my mind fucked by a book. I just want to fucking sit down and watch TV, okay? That's why I will never make fun. I hate it when people are like, I don't even have a TV.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I don't watch a lot now. And I know that the reason I don't watch a lot of TV now is because, first, I don't work. I don't need to do it. I don't need to sit down and watch it. It is a service. It almost makes me sick that it's not free. You know, that every
utility
we should be, well, and you know, they always say these stuff needs to be like a utility, but I'm like, what use is that until they stop charging us for the utilities?
Right. The designation doesn't matter.
Yeah. Why are we paying for utilities? Like, that is a thing that I spent, I was thinking about it last week when I was laying in bed, about like, the life we're promised here is, we are promised a job. We get to, if everything goes okay, all right, it's a job where we get a paycheck, where we have to give a cut of it to so many different people that there's a lot of stuff that we're forced. Basically, one paycheck gets eaten up, at least in my situation, one paycheck gets eaten up by rent, the next paycheck gets eaten up by the
car
other
payment.
Utilities yeah. and stuff like that. And like that, we're just hoping to have just enough left over to buy like a fucking Star Wars toy, or go see a movie at the end of the week, or in our case, buy a quarter of weed. You know what I mean? And then the rest of we get 2 days a week where we don't have to be at work, and the rest of it's just work. It's just work. That is the conveyor belt that I feel like we're on. And I think it's such a shitty deal that, like, I don't think everything should be for free. I don't think there's a possible way to get everything for free. And I do think that property is theft. I'm a big time property is theft guy. Okay.
Sure.
But like I can pay somebody for my land, I guess, for what you give me, I guess I can pay a landlord. I don't like this. Okay. But all that stuff on the next check needs to be free. That is that right there. A political movement built around that could go.
Sure, sure.
Like, why are we paying for all this other stuff and paying taxes? If there's taxes, I want the people I want the electricity from them. That money. Take the electricity out of that money.
All that tax money you got.
Yeah. Take the cable bill out of that. The phone bill. I heard you and Erish talking about that on the show. Like, you were like, you know, there's a $250 phone bill that everybody has now that just hasn't even been replaced. I know we all had regular, you know, landline phones. I guess that's the bill that got replaced. But technology never gets rid of a bill.
No, I mean, but the landline wasn't was way less than what the phone.
It was when you had one, when you were paying for one. It wasn't in the past. It was a bigger chunk
initially,
long distance. I mean, can you imagine caring about where you're calling?
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, was it outside of the lines?
I remember that. Yeah. Well, the little ball of conversation going on there that I was thinking about in a similar vein is that I'm putting things together and I see how things work entrepreneur wise, where if you can connect with people, you can make things happen. And there is that kind of promise of opportunity that you can freely associate with people and set up a fucking business is what we're sacrificing everything for. It seems like the promise of that, but there are also like the other 3/4 of people that have to like make the food and make the electricity get to the fucking house and drive the fucking packages around the world. So just because someone can get insanely rich off of a business idea is no reason to have everyone else living like this, like fighting it out for $70 electricity bill, you know?
No, yeah, for sure. And, you know, electricity should be a right. Electricity, human right, I feel.
The tough thing is you do want to make people to use less of it, though. And, like, price is the best way to control that.
Yeah.
If you sting them with a high bill, it's like, please stop with that.
Shit, you're right. I mean, but can't there be see, that's the thing we always end up running into with our anarchy ideas. It's like we want to get rid of parking meters more than anything in the entire world, but then people would just park their car places and leave. That is for sure. That is a definite thing. I know back in our earlier days, we'd be like, no, people are generally pretty good, but I know that's bullshit. Like I've left cars laying places and never picked them back up.
There would just have to be no problem to clean it up. You just have to figure out how to make it like an easy way to clean up.
Or how do you decide, though? Once you come and clean it up, the person comes back and starts raising hell about it.
But what if the person that's responsible for it can get it cleaned up without any sort of cost to them? Why would they leave it? There would be no reason to leave. If you wanted to get rid of it, you could just be like, hey, call the wrecker. Instead of the money is the problem. The reason that people do people are assholes, but a lot of super irresponsible decisions just come from like monetary situations. It's like, so I just fucking can't pay to do that.
Yeah. So
like that's where universal basic income levels everything, where it is like if everybody was getting what was I saying? $7.50 an hour. It's like, a few $100 a week changes everything, man, for a lot of people, for most of
us. I pay them bills. Would pay a car. That'd pay my car payment. I'd be good on that.
Yeah, and that's having that taken care of, affects way more of us, and that keeps way more of us safer, than giving it all to some rich fucking prick.
Yeah, and Josh Barrow would be making $7.50. In our world,
it back from him though.
You said like Pol Pot, and it's just now I picture guys like Josh Barrow working at McDonald's or Matt Iglesias working at Chipotle, like making them work those jobs that they sit up there and try to. Oh, see, if we paid him $15 an hour, then this would happen.
Mr. Barrow, we were checking Brian Quinby's taxes. He spent some time at McDonald's. We were checking Brett Payne's taxes. He's worked for the Fazoli's. You seem to have no fast food service, and we need to get that rectified quick.
Yes, I would love to draft.
Draft them into the fast food
industry. Yeah, yeah. I really think dudes like that need to work at a fast food restaurant. We probably have listeners that have never worked at a fast food restaurant, but it is miserable work. I did it a lot. Like all of my first jobs, they're the only jobs that'll hire scumbags. You know what I mean?
And it is extremely stressful. I mean, the slow times are pretty slow, but for a lot of it, you have to be locked in. I mean, just hours go by and you have no idea what happened,
Yeah.
You're just moving. next bun, next cheese, next bun, next cheese, wrap, wrap. You know, like you're just keep going and going and going. And then 3-4 hours pass and it's like the rush is over and you clean your shit up and you go. And you do that every fucking day.
Fucking Bill
every
Gates.
Every day.
People. Bill Gates has to go work at Arby's.
Exactly.
Warren Buffett, sandwich artist. Like I worked at McDonald's and Chuck E. Cheese and an Italian restaurant and just like... They're the lowest paying jobs. They're the least respected jobs. I can't think of a job that's other than cop, in my opinion. I don't respect them. But yeah. Like I'm saying that like.
Well, they've just become. I mean, they really just have become the like epitome of, you know, lazy worker, according to pissed off right wingers.
Yeah. And the really crazy thing about it is I see that I know working in a factory. In the early days of the Industrial Revolution was way worse. You know what I mean? I completely understand that. But like in comparison to our style of our level of life, you know, that job is the equivalent now of working in those factories that were terrible because there's just like it's so hard to do. And it's repetitive and it's and people are yelling at you the whole time. It's all so much more miserable than anything that somebody that works at, you know, somebody that works at Slate or Vox could ever understand.
Right.
You know, and I hate that. Like, so then all of the discussion about what to do, what are we going to do with these people? How can we make it's never about how we can make their lives better. How do we manage these people? Okay, these people that worked at these fast food restaurants, people that work two different fast food restaurants, how are we going to manage them? And it's never just about like improving their life because they do hard work.
Yeah, exactly. And they want their daughters want UGG boots and their sons want a fucking Kawasaki dirt bike. And that's just his money. That's just what it comes down to. That's why UBI makes sense, because all that is money. You know. And people like there is just I know that I mean financially my shit is fucked up. Like if they ever make debt something you can go to jail for, I'm screwed.
Don't ever say that. Don't even get those thoughts in my mind. That's some President Trump shit too.
Yeah.
Actually, but, I don't know. He's done some bankruptcies and stuff.
But that's what I was saying to Arish on the show was, I mean, I do have what I need, and you know, I'm doing way better than I ever did before, and I'm grateful for it, but I just don't think that anyone should have much less than I do.
Yeah.
I'm for damn sure about that, but it would fucking, you know, it would blow Josh Burrow's mind. I was laughing because I sent out the Lonnie Tunes t-shirts last night, and we had a lot of apartments in there. They're luxurious, though.
They're probably luxurious apartments.
There are some nice apartments on there, I'm sure.
Yeah, you probably sent it to the finest apartments in all of the United States.
And then also San Francisco, which we're going to be out there to the Bay Area. Oakland, too. There was quite a few out there. And Pennsylvania is even bigger than Ohio. Like, we skew more Pennsylvania than Ohio.
Cool, man. I'll do Pennsylvania. I love Pennsylvania. You know, Philadelphia is my place. And yeah. we almost went to Pittsburgh to shroom.
Yes, it was on our list of places to shroom in.
Pittsburgh. That is the lifestyle that the Street Fight Boys can
shrooming
give you.
In Pittsburgh!
That's going to sound so dystopian to our like New York listeners or like Stefan, who's always in this like beautiful locale with like palm trees and stuff. We were like, hey, man, let's go take some psychedelics and go to the Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we're going to go climb up the side of an old blast furnace.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like the thing is, we go to any of these cities and we have our listeners there that can tell us where the actual good stuff is. It's not like I would have gone to Pittsburgh and ate at Primanti Brothers and then did like the Andy Warhol Museum, which I probably would actually do.
Yeah,
I like that guy. He fucking rules.
I've only been actually to Pittsburgh one time for a concert. I went to a Vans Warped Tour there and I loved it.
They got them self-driving Ubers there, though, so.
In Pittsburgh?
That's the only place where they're at now. The Pittsburgh government's like, bring it on, man. Because, you know, how the Midwest is.
Yeah, please take us serious.
Please, sir. Please bring your self-driving cars here yeah. so people will think we're a thriving metropolis.
Yeah.
Columbus,
we're
same
a real
damn
city. We have Google Fiber.
Columbus, the same damn way. Exactly yeah. the
hat
same.
Hat in hand, anything. Always.
Yeah. Yeah. When we had the Doritos Locos Tacos and nobody else did, it just was like...
I actually have to say we probably are on the forefront of the fast food experimentation, though.
We are. We're a test market. We're notoriously like a test market because we have...
We need to start doing them videos where we eat that gross food in the car.
I know.
People... Oh, shit. Have you tasted this sauce right now?
That's too much sauce.
Not too much, though.
So, let's switch gears a touch here and look at a good problem that's going on. Brett and I will be in town for the inauguration. We're going to J20, baby. If you're going there, get a hold of us. We want to hang out with you and not work, man. Let's cause some trouble.
Yeah, we'll be there for a few days. Actually, we're going to culminate with a show on Sunday, January 22nd at Busboy and Poets in Brooklyn. Right there in the Pearl Bailey room. So that's happening. This is the first time it's come out. So information is still coming together. You're going to get blasted all over the feed very
soon.
Right.
Yeah. We don't have to give all the... one of the big stories of the inauguration is nobody wants to perform for Donald Trump.
Man, I really want to get tickets to that. I looked at, like, I didn't have enough extra bank account, but I'm looking at those All-American Ball tickets.
Yeah, how much were they?
It was like $175 or something. That's not much, though, in this day and age, man.
Yeah, it is for me, man.
I know.
Last concert I went to was $13.
Yeah. But I mean, we have Patreon money that we can dip into for expenses like that. You know?
Yeah, that's
we're doing
true.
Better than $175 a month.
Yeah. Okay. So we could have. I mean, who's gonna perform at this? Like, that's the screwed up thing is they. Garth Brooks was a guy. They were like, let's get Garth Brooks. How could Garth Brooks hate Donald Trump? Or how could Garth Brooks fans hate Donald Trump? And it's like, well, I don't think you've ever been to Ohio because everybody is a Garth Brooks fan. Every single person is a Garth Brooks fan.
I don't think a guy with a secret personality called Chris Gaines. I don't think that type of vibe fits with Trump at all.
Well, I think even he had thought about maybe doing it, but then his fans were like, no, Garth, please. I mean, his sensible fans, because like I said, he plays 8 concerts when he plays here in an arena. Like, it is a big deal when he rolls into town. He changes the population of this city. And like, and it's just like nobody that has that wide of a net, that casts that wide of a net, is going to be able to play at this thing. And like, you can't have an underground band play at your inauguration. It looks pathetic, especially if you're Donald Trump.
Well, that's what he's getting, though. It's like it's like a conference for wedding DJs is what it seemed like.
Why couldn't they get Kiss? Like, I know they, I heard that they tried to get like Gene Simmons and Ted Nugent. So here's we never look at the major article, but I read this article about one of those guys from the Eagles, and we'll use the LJ Independent Journal Review, which is,
oh, I love that.
It's one of our faves. We get our news from there. I know a lot of people like to read respectable news sources, but this is our jumping off point to talk about Trump.
I like IJ Review because it is super reactionary and fundamentalist, but the writing is very timid and mild. And like, it's the kind that I think most like dipshit conservative people are reading that feels like the same boring ass NPR news, you know?
Okay, yeah, you're right. It's like, oh, this is for smart conservative people. So,
right, where they're going to watch, yeah.
So the headline by Haley Condon is, Trump's had a brutal time trying to book inauguration performers, and Eagles singer knows why. Why'd they put the Eagles singer's name? You want a name like that in there.
Yeah, that's usually like when they say like produced by or written by somebody that they're just barely hanging on to.
So with the inauguration just weeks away, the topic of conversation isn't about who will perform at the event. Rather, the conversation has been orbiting around who will not be performing. Which, by the way, these are probably a lot of people that he's asked are probably like actually personal friends with him, but they can't do it because, you know, because he knows a lot of celebrities. He's not some guy that doesn't know anybody, you know.
That's true. You're right. He should have a lot of favors he can pull.
So everyone from Elton John to high school marching bands have passed on the chance to join in on the festivities. Can you imagine you're the president of the United States and a high school marching band is like, I'm not going to perform for you in 2004 to the president?
Yeah, we don't do that type of stuff around here in America.
It's pretty shocking. And Elton John, I mean, who wouldn't know that? While it was rumored that Andrea Bocelli backed out of performing due to backlash from fans, so Andrea Bocelli can't perform at Donald Trump's inauguration because his fans were like, no. Like, I will boycott you. That's how loathed the president is.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the problem is. The harsh thing is, like, it's not as made up as, like, the Republican side was. Like, those fuckers were going wild about Obama when he got elected. But Donald Trump is, like, the real deal garbage person.
Yeah. I think people are pretty... I mean, I think the opposition to him is a lot more vocal than the pro-Donald Trump stuff. I mean, I think that'll change over time as things like Time Magazine and the New York Times normalize him as being a president, as they make us feel like, he's just a regular old president, you know, we respect him now. But it says, everybody from, Eagles Joe Walsh is here to provide us with an explanation for why celebrities won't go near the inauguration.
Okay. So let's hear it first from the Eagles.
I mean, that's who I would ask, really. He seems like a decent authority on this thing. Like, I know we like to make fun sometime of their the people they choose to look to for information. But if you want to know what's going on with rock bands, not a lot of people better than Joe Walsh.
When he like they jumped in like a Land Rover and drove up a mountain in Wisconsin where Joe Walsh was or something.
Yeah. He says, well, I'll tell you why. The president is ruthless on Twitter, and then everybody's afraid to get Twittered. Stocks go up.
Wait, this sounds like a high school thing now.
I know. He sounds like every guy that says George Bush killed Saddam Hussein because he tried to kill his daddy.
I had to soft block him because I was getting in trouble for following him at one point, but I didn't want to make a big deal out of the unfollow.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck, Joe Walsh? Why don't you do cranky old man shit?
I know. He's just, everybody's afraid to get Twittered.
I don't know. He'll get in your DMs. He'll at reply you, and he'll be fucked up for days.
He did that carrier deal thing.
Oh, God.
The union leader came out and was like, this is actually a shitty deal. And then Trump went on Twitter and tweeted about him specifically, and then all of his starts getting death threats immediately.
The Trumpanzees, man.
I've never heard that.
I just saw it for the first time. I loved it.
But yeah, so he does have kind of a point. So another point for Joe Walsh from me.
But I mean, I think we're in an angry mob death threat world now. I mean, everybody, no matter what camp or ideology you're in, there are death threat people, racist language people, and awful people for anything you have subscribed to.
Yeah. So, man, it's sad that they also got a 16-year-old girl to sing the song the Star Spangled Banner, because like she's just like, this is just a huge opportunity for me.
Yeah.
Doesn't know how bad it looks anyway.
I would put that on my resume. I mean, if you're that young, you just need the experience. I think it's a good move.
Yeah. They push a kid out there on stage to sing in front of this guy.
She's not held accountable. She's still a minor.
That's true. We can't hate them. That's why they did. She's a shield. She's actually a heat shield.
Right.
She goes up there and deflects some of the Donald Trump heat away from the party. It's like a... like one of those cookers, those fryers. nothing. I was doing a hand motion on the radio. So,
right. Yeah, I get it. I mean, this adorable child comes out with her protective aura. Everybody is disarmed immediately, right?
Yeah.
This poor child will sing about America.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She'll
fuck America. If you still like America, this is why it's a bad idea. Because look at what America's doing. It's just continuing right along with this.
Yeah. So our president, Donald J. Trump, is the only way Brett and I are going to refer to him.
45, baby.
Mr. President. We've never called Obama Mr. President or anything like that.
That's sneakiness or maybe racist.
No. That's not what it is, because I don't call I didn't call George Bush President George Bush.
Yeah,
I know what I mean? I don't have respect for the office, so I just call him whatever their name is. For Donald Trump, though, I'm going to say his name.
That's true.
It's America. Like, it's more of a dig on America.
That's true. That's true. I'm with you.
President Donald J. Trump.
I used to say POTUS Peebo sometimes. But yeah, I didn't want to say I don't like presidents either. I mean, I don't dig that. Who wants to be president? Why are you getting like that? Too megalomaniacal.
Yeah. Actually, so I want to read his tweet about now that he's got the thing set up. He's got the 16-year-old heat shield in front of him.
Sure.
The so-called A-list celebrities are all wanting tickets to the inauguration. But look what they did for Hillary. Nothing. I want the people. So I guess he's so fucking with his tweet style. I can't like read it, but they want tickets. They just don't want to perform, I guess.
Okay. This is what Trump is saying?
That's what he's saying, which is probably true. That's the thing about him. Like before he was president of the United States, I thought he was a loathsome person, but the one thing I did like is that he would like
tell all your business.
Yes, absolutely. He would just go out there and be like, no, this celebrity stuff is all, like, he would talk about how it's all bullshit.
Yeah. No, and he would, the during the Republican National Convention, he would just be like, that guy owes me like $300 over there.
Exactly. That was the thing about him. But, so that was the only likable thing. So Elton John, we already brought up.
Elton John said no.
He said no.
So surprising.
Here's his thing. Here's his quote. We got to
please do it in Cockney English.
I don't really want my music to be involved in anything to do with the American election campaign. I'm British. I never met Donald Trump. Oh, I've met Donald Trump. He was very nice to me. Hey, it's a nothing personal. His political views are his own. Mine are very different. I'm not a Republican in a million years. Why not ask Ted fucking Nugent or one of those fucking country stars?
Oh, I love that.
They'll do it for you.
I do love British people with that fucking talk.
That's my favorite series of accents I've ever done.
It was great.
Kiss frontman Gene Simmons
turned
it down, and I can't believe that. Right.
Yeah, that seems like a big... I figured he would be able to talk about those numbers for a long time.
And he's like the hugest piece of shit other than Donald Trump.
Right. He's right behind him on the piece of shit list.
Like, I hate Gene Simmons. He's bad all the way through. Yeah, it's just his wife just was like, he said no. There's no quote or anything like that. Gene Simmons just said no. I wonder why he said no, though, man. That's really... It's interesting. Like, Gene Simmons turned down playing the presidential inauguration. That's where we're at.
Yeah, that does seem pretty indicative of how low we've gotten. Even Gene Simmons won't get involved.
That is exactly right.
And that seems like two moneymakers. Like 20 years ago, they would have been a hit TV show.
Another person turned off by Donald Trump, Celine Dion.
Oh, she's a national treasure.
She would sing for a war criminal, though. And she probably does, actually.
Oh, yeah.
They also know... I mean, most of them are like, I'm not going to comment, okay? I'm not going to be angry or anything like that. I'm just going to say no. I don't want to be seen on the video when the next Hitler...
Right.
Like the old propaganda videos with Celine Dion singing.
Right. My Trump will go on.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. I wish you would do that, though.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you really, like, that was the whole entire moral dilemma of that Chris Christie photo when he was like, fuck, I'm in the background of the Hitler guy. I'm here. I'm really here. I can't believe I'm standing behind this buffoon that wants to be the president. And like, that's how we all are. Like, we're caught in like this state of just like, I really want to leave, but they'll kill me if I try, you know?
Yeah. 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 So Andrea Bocelli, you know him?
No.
Oh, what?
I'm sorry. I'm not opera up on man. Opera man.
He's an opera guy. He seems opera like that. Man, he's like that Pavarotti bye, bye. Shit.
Oh,
like he's him. And Pavarotti are like the two tops, I think, in the entire industry.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's a pretty big pickup.
Yeah. I mean, listen, people love the damn opera. Who am I?
Some
to
do.
Say?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are people that would flip their wig.
That's true.
For Andrea Bocelli.
People would faint. I think they do a lot of fainting in the opera when those type of things are announced.
I mean, we're talking about Pavarotti, Andreas Bocelli.
Right. Neck and neck. Those are the guys.
Yeah.
One or the other, you've got a top opera.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you had the Beatles of rock and roll music.
Right.
And the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
That's Bocelli and Pavarotti. He was going to do it. And then the backlash was like, please, Andrea, don't. Which is, I mean, I don't like him.
How do we back out of Donald Trump? How do we do it? It seems like everybody wants out of it. How do we back out of it?
We can't. It's 4 years, dude. 4 years. It's just 4 years of it, man. We're just going to sit around. He's going to scare the shit out of us and probably fire a nuclear weapon somewhere.
Sure.
And then we'll be home. I don't know how much to worry about.
We're going to learn a lot more, I think. We're going to become closer. Our bonds will become much tighter when we're fighting each other for resources.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not thrilled. Neither are the chain smokers. The other,
oh, I love them. What? I need you. I need you. I need you right now. Right?
Yeah.
I need you. Yeah. I love the Chainsmokers.
Yeah, they're like, no, hell no. I'm not gonna do it. Garth Brooks. He showed interest in playing some music for Trump's crowd, telling TMZ that it's always about serving. It's what you do, which is that's why we love him.
I know. So wholesome. Ma'am, God gave me this gift of song, and I just care to share it with anyone I can, regardless of race, color, or creed.
Yeah, he's a beautiful man. I mean, I don't. What would you do if we had to be mad at Garth Brooks? You know, he's so important. He's so important.
He is. Not to me.
I understand that you feel that way, but he's a bond that
he's
holds.
He's huge. He's a planet.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
He's a rock for a lot of people.
Here's a quick list. Justin Timberlake, Bruno Mars, Katy Perry, and Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, and none of those people. Those seem like the most libby of the libs.
Yeah, and this is a IJ review article. They may not even ask them.
What about like Dave Mustaine? Will he play?
I'd go see that. That's why, because you're thinking like, what if they did get like Ted Nugent and Kid Rock to do it? I'd want to go.
Yeah,
like that
Dave
would be.
Mustaine.
They might buy me back into the government, into America, if I get to see a Ted Nugent, Dave Mustaine, Kid Rock concert.
Right.
Oh my god.
I mean, that's where we're headed, man. You got to buy what to buy, man. That's how we're going to be for 2017. It's going to be buy what to buy the whole way.
I mean, I think he would probably play one of the, like, Only God Knows Why or something like that. You know, slow it down. We was drinking whiskey out the bottle, knowing what we do. That song, those songs are beautiful, too. I think if you don't get that Kid Rock thing, you just never been to the Midwest.
Yeah, you ain't country.
I know, because I like, anybody I know that even has a little bit of country in their blood here is just like, I can't, no matter what vile stuff he says, I can't shake that I like some of his songs.
Yeah, he's a legend.
It's frustrating, really.
I love that he started out as like a fucking white kid with a flat top, like box as rapper in Detroit, Michigan, too.
Yeah, I saw him so early in his run that there was like 15 people there, and like seven of them just wandered in because there was a rave next door.
Well, that's good. I mean, he knows a lot about of location.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay.
That helps.
I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah,
so,
be in proximity of those music are the lovers.
I mean, those are the people that won't perform. I mean, he's like,
I wouldn't have been going down that list, man. He had the wrong list. Who else could he get?
Fred Durst.
Yeah.
Fred Durst would play.
Korn would play. Why did you do a goddamn new metal inauguration? This is what we're doing.
I mean, that's the people. That is.
Yeah, that's the whole segment. It's Korn.
Could you imagine a PBS? You turn on PBS.
Oh, so Trump.
They don't have to put the name of Trump into their songs. Is that part of it?
That's our president. You know, we have to recognize who our president is.
His name is Trump.
Yeah. Trump rock. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I guess this brings us.
They need to hire us as brand. I mean, we could fix the Trump brand, I think.
Probably, but he's not interested in our ideas because he would have to put forth some of my reforms too.
I would only use it to get close into the inside and take the whole thing down.
Yeah, reforms. We'll do some reforms, but some very cool ones. People are gonna love 20-hour work week. So one of the things that's weird is like yesterday I started humming in my head a little bit of Incubus music. So
the popular rock band?
The popular rock band. And you know what? Actually, we'll do this on the next show, man. Let's tease that. Let's tease the Incubus, man.
Yeah, I got caught up on some Incubus, too. I'm loving the shit out of it.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, it's good. I think they... Actually, fuck it. Let's just do it. They're very libertarian-y.
You think
Brett.
So?
I think Incubus may have contributed to my initial conservatism when I was getting into politics.
You think that they pay attention to the Cato Institute?
I don't know that they are into markets, but they sound like another famous kind of character that you and I have conjured up in our head. And it's the libertarian conservative. The libertarian tattoo artist. The libertarian / conservative tattoo artist is such a real fucking thing.
It is. I know so many of them.
It's most of them, really.
Yeah. All I got is this tattoo gun, man, and a wish to get by, man. I can do it because America's so great.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm doing hard work, man, doing labor.
Yeah, and they remind me of that. They also tend to be a lot more wake-up sheeple types, which Incubus is a very wake-up sheeple type of person.
Well, I would say when I most liked Incubus, I was an Alex Jones info warrior that was doing a lot of psychedelics.
Right, yeah. And when I was into them, I was a roofer that was completely addicted on Percocets. But that's the other thing. I'm like, so what made me into them? And I listened to their song Make Yourself, and I was just like, holy shit, man. I found out this is the Libertarian Manifesto. Like, they're just, if libertarians weren't so embarrassed to like a good band like Incubus, then they would have their band, you know?
You think? Because they're all about self-determination?
Oh, my God. So I'm going to read some lyrics to the song Make Yourself, which was the first song where I was like, this guy is, I don't know, man. Now I feel like I'm in an uncomfortable conversation at a party.
I always knew this guy was fucking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he does have sex and everything, and he's so good looking and stuff. And he also, to me, seems to have done mushrooms. And then came out of that haze of the mushrooms and like really like taken some of the wrong ideas.
Give me your examples here. Give me your examples then.
If I hadn't made me, I would have been made somehow.
That's true though. If you don't move, somebody else will move you, right?
If I hadn't assembled myself, I'd have fallen apart by now. So he is self-made. Okay. And I am a self, I wouldn't say I'm self-made, but like that libertarian idea of being self-made is just a way to be like, society didn't do any of this for me. I don't need a goddamn community, you know?
Yeah. It comes down to being an island, right?
Yeah, yeah, you're an island of yourself. I fucking made myself. So everything that's great about me, that was all me. I did that. You know, those people are also the people that are like, people think I'm being funny, but I'm actually being really mean. And they like treat that like a good sign of a good sense of humor.
Right, right. Yeah, people are usually pissed and crying, but it's hilarious to me.
Yeah,
I have a better sense of humor.
God,
I'm more open-minded.
That is a meme that shows up at almost every day. It'll be like a picture of Tweety Bird, and it'll say like, "People, I don't even really think I'm funny. People just laugh when I'm being mean."
And I'm just like, God, you're
great. Well, that's I don't think that's the case. Usually a person probably doesn't get a lot of laughs. If I hadn't made me, I'd be more inclined to bow. The powers that be would have swallowed me up, but that's more than I can allow.
This does seem like a meme now. This does seem like an anonymous mask meme, like a Guy Fawkes mask shit.
It does. It does. It's when you're. I didn't realize that like, because it sounds so wimpy. And it sounds like something you could have sex to, too, you know?
Yeah, he's a tender guy.
He's sneaking in some nasty ideology.
You think so?
I do. I feel
insidious ideas of everybody being able to control their complete destiny.
Yeah, this sexy man comes in and says, hey, sheeple, you know, bust out of your form, you know, make yourself into something.
Rap metal. He's the rap metal Jim Morrison.
Yeah, he is. God damn. You got him. You just nailed him down.
See, what I loved listening back to this, because you've done this. This is like your new thing where you remind me of a band that I listened to like 10 years ago. And you're like, I've been listening to it obsessively.
Yeah.
For a day now. You should too. But this was with Thursday and Fucked Up. This is part of that series. And I do really miss this genre of music.
Me too. Like,
there was a time when you could have a guitar and someone scratch a record on the same stage.
Yes. And one of the things that listening to Incubus again specifically has been like, I remember the alienation that I felt because I was very into reading like rock criticism as much as I could. I liked Spin and things like that. And when I got on the internet, I looked for it as much as I could. And they all hated Incubus.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I could never figure out why. It's always like, man, I like all the good music, dude. I like Korn, man. But every time I read a review, it's like 1 star. What's up with that, man?
Right. Well, yeah, they did have some of the songs are kind of heavy, though. Like, they do have some sweet riffs in there.
Well, because you wanted, back at that time, you needed to have some stuff for people to mosh to in between your, like, lovemaking tune.
Right. And the DJ shit adds so much, man. Like, Limp Bizkit was live back then. Even just, like, Q-Bert and DJ Triangle and DJ Shadow, there was just people doing DJ shit at the time. We didn't go full digital, you know?
No, they would pop in and they'd do a little bit and then they'd pop out, you know?
Yeah.
So if you let them make you, they'll make you paper mache. From a distance, you're strong until the wing blows and you crumble and blow away.
Ugh. Oh, gosh. Paper tiger.
Yeah, you would be. If you let them fuck you... Oh, God, the lyrics are bad. There will be no foreplay, but rest assured, they'll screw you complete till your ass is blue and gray. They're a meme band, right?
That's a meme band. See, but this is also another theory of mine in that the music now that people say is so dumbed down is only a result of us spending so much time reading shit all day on social media.
Yes.
Like, I used to listen to music in the 90s that would be like, the cops are flooding the streets with drugs, you know, like all of that rap music about all of what was going on, you know, that shit that was going down in the community and shit was relevant. Now I can read that. Like I read like 90 minutes worth of fucking stuff like that every single day. All I want is for Lil Yachty to just talk about his new jeans.
Yeah.
You know, the same way that back then, this guy, he had to put that all out there, man.
I know.
How else would you know to not be a sheeple? It's easy. Today, you just get on Instagram and there's a fucking video game character that tells you not to be a sheeple. But back then, this was like the best way.
And he probably, when he talked to people, was the most interesting person in the room. I mean,
I was stealing all my moves. I mean, I'm telling you, I got fucking laid because of that guy. So that's perfect. He was perfectly fine. I knew that guy was fucking. I was also reading Cosmopolitan magazine because I knew it would get me closer to fucking.
Yeah.
Like, I knew what this dude was doing. And he wasn't doing it in an asshole way. He was like, he was a seducer.
Yeah.
He wasn't like a forcer.
He's
you
just
know,
a sexy seducer.
Fucking make everybody fall in love with him.
Yeah, I made myself, motherfucker.
Yeah, I did this all by myself. You know?
Ain't paper mache.
I fuck me in my own way.
And that's the thing. Like, he comes off as such a libertarian in so many of the songs that I just feel like one time you're going to be listening to the album and then all of a sudden he's going to be like, there's going to be a lecture by one of those Hayek or somebody.
Yeah. There's going to be a Mises.
You're speech. He's going to sneak some Rothbard into the hidden track. It's like, right. Shit.
Because people are in charge of their own.
Yeah, I mean, but I do think that, like, a funny thing about, and Incubus really ties into this. There was a time where Incubus was one of my three favorite bands. I had three favorite, I would always have a list of three favorite bands.
You kept it in your back pocket?
Not in my back pocket, but just in my mind, because I was so uninteresting, and so were all of my friends, that we would just sit around and be like, so what's your favorite three bands? And then we'd be like, oh, I don't know, man. I kind of disagree with that. You know, here's another. Like, I was never but we would talk this about it constantly.
Yeah, this is pre-streaming, though. This is when you had to pick a genre of music and like it hard.
Right, yeah. You had to go, because if you went to the store, you needed to know what to get. You weren't going to, like, get to hear it first. You're exactly right. So, like, we would just sit around and talk about it. And for a long period of time, it went Deftones, Korn, Incubus. Like, they were just like, that was my three favorite bands. And so I can't help but think that those three bands had a profound effect on who I ended up being.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they still, I'm sure, informed.
Yeah.
I mean, the same way for me. It's like, doing this doing the creative endeavor for me is something that does require a lot of stick-to-itiveness and pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You just can't conflate that to everybody else.
No, it's
like, for me, that's how I can be successful, but I can't say that everybody else has to do that.
Yes.
That's where the ideology goes sour.
Yes, exactly. Maybe he didn't get to the markets part then. Maybe he did. Maybe I'm just being, but here's another little thing that I can just toss in there. First album's called Science, though, so I really feel like he got to the markets part.
Oh, I know.
He's also a guy that loves science. Like, when I took shrooms, when I was done taking shrooms, I was like, the only science that's important to me is the one that figured out that if you take these, you get fucked up.
Right. You know? So that's just the science of eating stuff and seeing what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, I can't imagine, because their first album is called Psilocybin, okay? Like, that's what I remember about them. And I'm like, so this guy, they had profound mushroom trips, I would imagine. You know, that was what led you to release your first album and it just be about mushrooms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he came out on the end and he's like, man, isn't science fucking rad?
It was really going down back then.
It was. Hey, everybody, we were all moshing. We were all going crazy. I know you kids out there and you more metal people would be like, you moshed to Incubus? Yes, we did. And I felt, I truly felt when I would do those things, like inside, like
you were screaming it.
Yes, as loud as I could. Like, it's weird, man. Like, listening to this also, I'm listening to these lyrics. So there's a song called The Warmth, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Experience the warmth.
So you hear that lyric, you hear the name The Warmth, and you're like, maybe this is about like having a positive moment with the warmth. But I remember standing in a mosh pit and just, and I'm going to sing the chorus for you. Listen, you guys are getting a lot of singing this week. So, don't let the world bring you down. And then I can just picture myself screaming this and looking up and like waving my arms covered in fucking sweat, barely able to breathe from the smell of cigarettes, and just being like, not everyone here is that fucked up and cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just,
you're
like,
just dying for that connection, man.
I was. And it, like, but all it, the only way it manifested itself was through violence and screaming.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that is,
it's like 100% of your feelings. Like, maybe Incubus was out there expressing feelings that I wasn't allowed to express.
Yeah. You were just a little stunted, I think. Stinted, yeah. Stunted.
Well, yeah, I never thought about any of that stuff. All the beautiful, I never thought about anything in that regard.
Yeah, you're the driver, man. Take control of the wheel. You can drive your life wherever you want. You can have an anarcho comedy podcast someday, man.
That is your privilege.
Oh, I love that song. Privilege.
I see you in line dragging your feet. You have my sympathy.
Yeah, there's a
He's a self-help guru.
It is. It is that time period when it was just the last of the analog world.
Yes. Yes. It was the last time that somebody could do something like that and a million people not just start
talking about it. Right, right. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Who's this cornball? Because really what he is he's that guy on Twitter, the Umair Hank. Do you remember that guy?
He's
Umair Hank is what he is.
Or just like someone that takes a guitar over and starts playing their own original hits at a party, you know?
Oh, that's the fucking worst person. I don't know, man. I guess, like, it's so weird when I think one of the reasons I'm going back is just to try to understand what was going on in my mind back in those times. You go back there and listen to Thursday, and then you put yourself then you look at the conditions you were living in while you were listening to Thursday, and the mistakes or the decisions you made while you were listening to Incubus, and you're like, did this have something to do with my attitude? I bet it did. You know?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is cathartic too. I mean, that type of music does get rid of all of those frustrations.
Yeah.
But it is quite hilarious to think that you were probably really standoffish and really shitty and being like, why can't people be nice, you know, like, why can't people get along? And you were probably not willing to do that with anybody at the time.
I was probably very hateable. Can't imagine people like I always get so shocked that I still have people from that time that are willing to come around me anymore.
Right.
Because it's like, I was so mean before, but now like I said, I didn't listen to any other kind of music when I was in high school. I mean, there was my time where I did listen to rap and like, they were all kind of right next to each other, but I really only listened to nu metal. Like, that was my entire teen years. Like, I have...
Yeah, you were there at the right time.
Yes, and I have... Well, the first Korn album came out when I was in the 10th grade. So, like, I was 16, and those guys were screaming. And I think another thing that kind of music cemented in me was a snobs versus slobs thing. Because, like I said earlier, you could never read a good review of any of the music that I listened to.
Yeah. There was always people riffing on it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's interesting.
Well, yeah, and you still see it now. Like, if you go on Twitter and say, "Hey, man, you know, post a link to an Incubus song," That's it. No, you don't get to comment on it. You don't get to say I'm doing an irony or anything like that and just post the link. Sure, most people might ignore it, but other people would be like, this is what's going on with Brett.
You know what I mean? It's pretty crappy.
I mean, and we talk about how we like wrestling and shit like that, but like you can't like that kind of stuff still. It's still not okay. It's like it was to like hair metal when I was a kid.
Yeah, I think it'll be. I think it's on its way back.
Yeah, I hope so, man.
It's hard to imagine it being likable again, but it is. It does. You're right. I don't know. I do like that attitude of it being not liked because it was huge here. And it's still huge here.
Brett and I are going to see Max and Igor Cavalera perform Roots.
Yeah.
The Hour of Sevilla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a Rock on the Rain show this year, too.
Yeah. I actually told Brett that was happening. He was like, I'll definitely go to that.
Yeah. Sepultura again is something I would show up for. Yeah. No problem.
I will leave my house in a second. For Sepultura, especially that album. I mean, oh, Roots. Bloody Roots.
The best one.
Yeah. So that's a little new metal. We got a little new metal in there. Hey, let me just say this too about we just talked more entertainingly about new metal than anybody on a hard rock radio station ever could.
That's true. And I love the shit out of it. That Science album is actually pretty good. The Make Yourself One does get really like talking over tea and shit and like it's insincerity.
Yeah, well, I got a tweet from WB Blitzers on Twitter that said when Drive came out, he remembers a lot of people buying a lot of like, you know, women like that like that kind of sad type music. Yeah. That type, like Drive is specifically made for a certain kind of woman.
Oh yeah,
you know.
I was trying to pick him up.
Yeah, me too. I'm married to one right now.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, married to one that makes fun of me for listening to Incubus. I'm like, oh, fuck you. You were at the concerts with me.
You were screaming it too.
I know. She doesn't have any way to go.
You know, the other thing is they are like they were like the freaky, styly white boy shit too, man. Because they are way too experimental on that shit.
I know.
It's like it wasn't good, guys. Like some of the shit you guys had nailed down so well, but just like the boobity-bop-a-da-boobity-bop-a-da shit is not working. You're not like fucking blowing our minds here, Shia LaBeouf.
In order to get to that, though, in order to get the good stuff, you have to wade through the bibbidi-bop-a-da-bibbidi-bop stuff. That's just the way things are, man.
Right.
You know, Korn used to do those songs where he didn't use any words at all.
Yeah, he was scatting, man. It's like scat, like the old times, man.
And I thought it was, like, really profound when I'm like, this motherfucker doesn't even need words to describe how fucked up everything is.
Yeah, he just growls at the world.
Yeah.
That was like pre-furry shit.
Yeah. All right, man. I'm back. We come back. We do an hour and 40 fucking minutes.
Wow, that's a lot of talking. Yeah, we're going to get you another show. We'll get you two shows this week. And I have a bonus, another interview that I did that's on the way where I talked to Almighty Prismo.
Sweet boy. He's a sweet boy.
He is a great guy. And we got into I badgered him to talk about shit so I can make fun of it, and it came out really good, and that's going to come to you next week. And if you're getting comfortable with a three show a week street fight lifestyle, we are building towards that through our Patreon campaign. So patreon.com/streetfightradio, you can subscribe for as little as $5 a month. We'll get you all of our live videos, but once we get closer to this $2,500 amount a month each month you will get a third show from us.
And you know, a third show is not going to be like the two shows that you get now. A third show is going to be it'll be a gimmick show, slacking shit off, man.
Y'all ain't paying me enough. $2,600 doesn't go shit in America.
Yeah.
Especially because I'm spending half of it on putting Street Fight on.
Yeah. So yeah, but I mean, we'll have other people on with us. And,
yes.
You know, we got the world's greatest friends. We have all the world's funniest friends.
Yes, and we can bring that to you.
Yeah.
If you want to get some loot kratom, you can do that by going to the Patreon page. $10 a month, I'll give you 25 grams of kratom each month. I think it's going to be a white tie. Will be this month. Will be January.
Oh, selection. That's a good one. That's a good. I had a kilo of that at one point, and very. I got a lot of enjoyment out of it.
It's a excellent strand. If you want to give it a shot, sign up for loot kratom or. Go over to our favorite Kratom supplier by using the link bit.ly, bit.ly, you know that shortening service, bit.ly/sfkratom. You can find us, we're on Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter, Facebook, all that. We're Street Fight WCRS is the username. My name is Brett Payne. I'm at BRETTPAIN on Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram. He's at Murder Brian, MURDERBRYAN there on Facebook.
Yeah. Hey, let us also know if you would be interested in a zine from us, right?
Yeah. I think that's
one made by us.
Right. I think that's going to be the next evolution. The book club was a good way to get initial subscribers, but I really don't like going and getting books for people, so I want to phase that out. And I think we can print out a zine every single month, and it would be a lot of fun.
I would write in it, too. So you would get writing.
So check it out. It's actually already there, patreon.com/streetfightradio. Patreon.com/streetfightradio. Sign up for the zine club, $10 a month, and you'll get a zine from us and all of our live videos, and you'll support what we do. I mean, it's win-win-win all the way down. Thank you for tuning in this long, and if you listen to all of this, you're the fucking best. We are Street Fight. Peace.
Yeah, I'm about to break a whole check, yeah. And my mellow jersey, no gold, no back, yeah. I ain't got much, but I'll make a nigga fresh, yeah. We the indie puppy, spend a budget on a set, yeah. Yeah, spend it all on a video. Riding in a slingshot, downtown, pretty though. Tell me when to go, just bumping in the radio. Tell me when you're going to the mall, I'm trying to spend it, bro.
Yeah, guess they right. Never should've gave you niggas money. Got fat, cause there used to be nothing in my tummy. Got my foot up in the dough, and all my niggas coming. And Parker so smart that he got y'all all dummy. Was pretty bad before, now I'm just reckless. Apples a rock for dinner, lunch, and breakfast. You know how it goes, if you got it, better spin it. And if you ain't got it, I suggest you go and get it.
Oh my God, hey, I ain't done shit. Oh my life, hey, I'm about to spend four, about five. Hey, I'm about to spend all this money. Oh my God, hey, I ain't done shit. Oh my life, hey, I'm about to spend four, about five. Hey, I'm about to spend all this money.
Yeah, pretty motherfucker. Better go and smile for the camera. Might stash a little, I ain't going out like hammer. Can't spell the same life, getting money for my grandma. The boy's so charming, I get it from my grandma. Now I ain't got a lot, but it's more than a little bit. Same old gods, I ain't out getting into it. But I be lying though, if I said I'm not belligerent. I guess that's just the life when you out here,
yeah,
killing shit.
Yeah, I'm out here killing shit, massacre killing shit. Maybe not a little bit, okay, not even a little bit. You get it, yeah, a little bit, okay, I'm sounding ignorant. Fit my last 50 cents out my fucking piggy bank. They ain't got no veggie shit on the dollar menu, man. Now a nigga hungry, but my fit is on Pootie Tang. Yup, I'm really, man. Fit is on Pootie Tang. Graduated from Cooley, man. Nigga gon' do his thing.
I'm nice as fuck.
Oh my God, hey, I ain't done shit. Oh my life, hey, I'm about to spend four, about five. Hey, I'm about to spend all this money. Oh my God, hey, I ain't done shit. Oh my life, hey, I'm about to spend four.
Tell you something, man. I don't care if you only got $27 in your paycheck. Go ahead, take your ass to H&M or Zara or something, get you a couple shirts. Just don't get one of them motherfuckers with the zippers on the side. motherfucker. I don't even know whose idea it was to put the zip on the side. Like, what you gonna... I, all